It is good to be back for this, my last speech. And Pat is making the argument, the standard arguments that are made. However, I want us to look at several things right quick. Give me chart number 30, I believe it is, at this time. Here is usually what's done by those who teach personal age law. They cite a number of passages among these, and notice these cite a number of these passages. And they'll say, see, we have a personal age law. Well, when I look at these passages, here, I don't find the word dwell in any of these passages. He has to bootstrap the argument that the gift is the dwelling. But he can't find the word dwell in Acts 2.38. He can't find it at all. He can't find that word there at all. And so, over and over, he said, look at the passages I cited. This is a common thing, and it's an error that is done over and over and committed by debaters. They cite a number of passages, not making an argument from them, and assume they've proven their case just by citing passages. Baptists do it all the time. We will debate them on salvation by faith only, and they'll quote a number of passages that were saved by faith and say, see, I prove that you're saved by faith alone. And they'll bootstrap the word alone into the passages. Now, turn with the chart 185, if you will. He used Acts 2.39 as part of his argument here. He's arguing that the Greek word kaleo, that's found in Acts 2.14, whereunto he called you to our gospel, that he's claiming that this word is the same word, if you will, that's found in Acts 2.39. But look, brethren, these are not the same word. They are not the same word at all. Kaleo and phosphaleomai are different words. In Acts 2, verse 39, we have the word Greek word phosphaleomai. And when we look at this, he has been claiming they're the same word. They don't even look hardly the same. Now, he'll say they're from the same root. That doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove one thing. And that doesn't prove anything at all. Give me chart 186, please. Chart 186. Phosphaleomai is translated God shall call in Acts 2.39. Translated shall call. This word means to call to one's service. Linguistic key, Radiker and Rogers says. It means to call to the performance of a thing or a point. It also means to call to a special task or office by our art and language. These are Greek dictionaries that I'm citing. And that's, they're defining this word for us. Now notice, furthermore, in chart 187, it means to call to a special task or office, or call to one's service, or to a point. I said forward that it is a special task that they were called to. And that the word itself, when we see it, in Acts 13.2 being used, we can see plainly that's what it means. Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul the Apostle in this same chapter, his name was changed, God said, or the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It wasn't the gospel call that he's talking about in this passage. It was a call to a special task as missionaries being sent out. Being sent out as missionaries in this passage of Scripture. You don't have to know Greek, but I would suggest that everyone get a Strong's Concordance, purchase one, and you can see that Strong tells you, knowing no Greek, that these are indeed the same word. And so, he has misused Acts 2.39. Now, I suspect we'll have one sale on Acts 2.39 tomorrow night. And so, if you come back tomorrow night, you're probably going to hear more. He said, well, Pentecostals are going to have a field day with me, and so are Baptists. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Alexander Campbell taught what I teach on the gift of the Spirit. Guy in Woodstock and other great godly preachers. And there's some other powerful ones, Joe Warlick being one of them, who had hundreds of debates with these people. And he taught what I teach, and he didn't have an ounce of problem with it. There's no problem with it. Guy in Woods debated a number of these people. They never whipped him on it. I listened to him debate after debate. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about debating these people with my position on Acts 2:38. Guy in Wood wasn't. Franklin Camp wasn't. Joe Warwick wasn't. And he had several hundred debates. And Alexander Campbell did. And there are other men who hold my position. Or I should say hold the position I hold, or held the position I hold, because all of these men are now deceased. He says Acts 10 is different. But he hasn't proven it's different. In Acts 5:32, he pointed it this way. You might have missed it. If you listen carefully, you'll see he added a word in there. He said, all of them that obey. He said it more than once. He added the word all in there. You know why? Because he wanted to parallel it with Hebrews 5:9. He wanted to parallel, so he added a word into the verse. That's neither there in the Greek nor the English text. Look at it and see if you find the word all. When you get the page on this, you listen and see if he didn't say all more than once. Now, the word obey in Acts 5:32 and the word obey in Hebrews 5:9 are different words in the original language. Get a strong concordance and check it out. Don't take my word for it. They are different words. The word that's found in Acts 5:32 is to obey a civil ruler. It's found in Hebrews chapter 3. Obey the civil rulers. That's the context. The civil rulers have been telling the apostles, you quit preaching the resurrection because you brought the blood of Jesus upon us by preaching that he's resurrected. And they said, quit preaching. And they said, we must obey, same word, God rather than you civil rulers and them. Acts 5:29. And in verse 32, they were at that time obeying God by continuing to preach Jesus is resurrected. That's the context. Brethren, don't just take Acts 5:32 out of context. A verse out of context becomes a pretext. That's precisely what it's become. He used, if you will, Romans 5 and verse 5. He used the word giver. Now, I identified the giving of the Spirit in Acts chapter 8, which he has to agree that expression means miraculous. It's a reference to the miraculous in Acts chapter 8. Now, let me say this. I don't believe the Spirit was personally given when they performed the miracles. But I don't have to prove that point. If I prove it's miraculous, I prove it's not for us today. Now, I can prove that point, but I'm not going to, unless he tries to argue against it. I'm not going to do it when I'm in the affirmative. But I don't believe that the Spirit ever entered the human body, the Holy Spirit ever entered the human body. That's a person. Now, the giving, receiving, and the falling are all references to the miraculous. In Romans 5 and verse 5, he used another expression here in this passage. I identified that meaning, giving, and I say, if this is a personal indwelling, then it causes us to love by a direct operation of the Spirit. I think there's a great problem with that doctrine. I already pointed that out in 1 John 3, verse 24. Look at the verse and the next verse after it, 1 John 3. You'll see, hereby we know. 1 John 3:24, by the Spirit. If it's the indwelling, the first indwelling, he causes you to know things. And that's a direct operation. Because it's not through the Word. It's a direct operation where he enters your body and causes you to have knowledge. Brethren, why are we having a problem in the church today with this? Direct operation of the Holy Spirit doctrine. It's because we've misused these passages. Romans 5:5, cause you love. 1 John 3:24 causes you to know. Read them carefully when you get home tonight. Mark those passages down and read them. Give me chart number 30, if you will, regarding Titus 3, verses 5 through 6. And I want chart 12. Give me chart 12, your chart 12. Then I'll have chart 30 after that. In this passage we have here, his chart that he used, notice he used Titus 3, 5 through 6 for a personal indwelling. And I'm looking and looking, and I don't find the word dwelling anywhere. I don't find it. Do you see it? If you see it, you point it out to me. Now then, I don't find it there. But when we look at this passage, he says, renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly. The original says, out of whom he poured out. He poured something from the Spirit there. And that's not the Spirit himself being poured. It is the renewing. It is the new birth he's talking about in that context. Now, notice, give me chart 30, if you will. This is the point that I was making. He just says, see, here it is. See, here it is. But the word dwell is not in this passage, and this is not one of my verses on this chart. Now notice, Acts 10 and 2, he said in my prayer, chart 168, if you will. In chart 168, if the gift of the Holy Spirit is the personal indwelling, a non-Christian has received the personal indwelling. That's the point I'm making. It's not the personal indwelling. It's miraculous endowments. Now, what is the difference? He says, God made a distinction of some sort. Sure I did. There is a distinction. What is the distinction? God gave miracles for the purpose of revealing his will, confirming his will, for the incarnation. It was miraculous. And he gave it, he performed miracles when he had creation. Now, there may be other reasons, but there are at least four reasons God performed miracles. In Acts chapter 10, it was to confirm. Confirm what? To confirm that the Gentiles are worthy of salvation. Now, you can't read Acts chapter 10 and not draw that conclusion. Acts chapter 11 brings it out, and in Acts chapter 15, he says God gave them the Spirit, and he tells us that it was to prove. He tells us it was to prove that they were indeed accepted. And that's part of the argumentation of Acts 15 at the Council of Jerusalem. Part of the problem there. In this chart here, I say there is a consistency. And my interpretation continues that consistency and harmonizes it. Now, he used Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, he said it collectively. And why can't it be parallel to Acts 2, verse 38 through 39? I would ask that. How do you know it's collected at Mark 16 and not collected elsewhere? Now, I want to look at some charts. Go back very quickly, if I might. Give me chart 209 in the few moments we have. Why was the Holy Spirit given? He was given to enable the apostles to bear witness. We have the witnessing. The witnessing, Acts 5:32, there are two witnesses there. The Spirit was a witness. We are witnesses. We, and so is the Spirit. We are witnesses. How were the apostles witnesses? Brethren, if that's not miraculous, what is? What is if that's not miraculous? The apostles as miraculous witnesses? Mark, Acts 1, verse 8. Now, Pat, I don't see that. I don't see how you can get around that. John 15:26, the Comforter would cause them, he shall cause you to bear witness, you shall bear witness, and he shall bear witness. We have both of them there in John 15:26. In Hebrews 2 and verse 4, he did it, the Holy Spirit did it by the miracles he performed. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, the Jews had a man had to jump over two hurdles to become a prophet, to be considered a prophet. The two hurdles were very quickly. He had to perform signs that always came to pass. And everything he taught had to harmonize with the scriptures they had. The apostles were doing that very thing, those two things. The apostles were indeed doing this. He's taking Acts 5 out of its context. Give me chart 206 very quickly. The way the apostles were obeying God precludes this being a personal indwelling. Not only is there a time problem, but the way they were obeying God precludes this. The apostles here, in this passage of Scripture, they were obeying God, obeying the civil rulers who had prohibited Acts 5:29 them from preaching the resurrection. This is not obedience to the gospel, but this is obedience by preaching the gospel. If it's saying we get a personal indwelling of the Spirit, it says we get it. Time up. If they're saying it's a person of God of the Spirit, they're saying we get it whenever we preach the gospel that Jesus is resurrected. But he doesn't believe that. This is talking about obedience of the apostles. This is obedience to the gospel. If this is a person of God, it's not based upon baptism, but upon preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to think very seriously about these things. We are almost out of time. This is the last speech for the night. study these passages, come back tomorrow night. I appreciate the cordial nature of this crowd, this audience, and I appreciate the cordial nature of Pat and those at his table. I think he would amen that. He shook his head. I believe that he has conducted himself quite well. I thank you for your attention.